Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless all of us. God is alive all the time. God is good. Amen. Do you experience God's goodness all the time? I believe nowadays, especially China, is rising for world mission. Thank you for Sister Lei Dan Nian. God bless you and your family. Amen. Okay, this morning, let us see the Word of God and listen to His living voice. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1 to 13. Okay, let me read alternatively. Let me start. Verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar, very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Shall we read together the conclusion, last verse? 13, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told the memory of her. Amen. This is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we know, now events are moving to a climax. Our king is preparing to suffer and die. This preparation is in three stages at three different locations in this chapter. For example, first stage is at Bethany. At Bethany, we can see the worthy versus wasted. And second stage is in the upper room. Maybe we'll see next time. In the upper room, we can see the faithfulness versus betrayal. And third stage in this chapter, Gethsemane, final prayer of Jesus at Gethsemane. In this Gethsemane, we can see submission and resistance, submission versus resistance. Here then is the definite beginning of the last act of the divine tragedy. In this passage, once again, Jesus, our King, warned his disciples of what was to come. And once again, Jesus makes it clear that his purpose is the cross. Verse 1 and 2, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover, Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. All these things Jesus mentioned here refers to his teachings about the kingdom of heaven. In the previous chapters, chapters 23, 24, 25. Yes, our Lord Jesus was never surprised at the point of his death, because he knew very well that his coming on earth was to die on the cross for man's sin. So Jesus says himself through his voice, the Son of Man, mentioning himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life. No one can take my life from me. I lay down my life of my own accord. I have authority to lay down my life. Also, I have authority to take it up again. And in this passage, as you know, the fact Jesus would die during the Passover season was deeply significant. We know the story of Passover in the Old Testament Exodus. We can see the story of Passover in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover commemorated the night. The Israelites were freed from Egypt when God passed over the houses marked by the blood of a lamb. This was the last greatest plague on Egypt, when the firstborn sons were killed in unmarked houses. After this horrible, terrible disaster, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, allowed the Israelites to leave, to depart. Then this sacrifice of a ram and the shedding of lamb's blood commemorated Israel's escape from Egypt. When this blood of lamb painted on their doorpost had saved their first sons from death. Then the day of Passover was followed after 7 days feast, which were called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The first day was called the Passover day. Then next 7 days were called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So actually, eventually, 8 days came to call the Passover feast. Still today, Israelites commemorated this Passover feast. Today, the Passover was celebrated on the 14th day of their calendar, Nisan. Actually, today, Israel had two kinds of calendars. Also, Korea had two calendars, lunar calendar, solar calendar. But Israel has two calendars, religious calendar and secular political calendar. And according to religious calendar, they celebrate Passover Nisan month. Nisan month is first month in a year. So Nisan is, according to our calendar, last March and first parts of April. Anyway, this event foreshadowed Jesus' walk on the cross. As the spotless, as the blameless Lamb of God, Jesus shed his blood on the cross to save his people from the penalty of sin, from the penalty of death. That's why the Bible says, pointing Jesus Christ, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You know, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. Very clear. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are. Why? For Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been crucified, has been sacrificed. The next verses, we can see the event, the story of Bethany. Shall we see verse 6 to 13? While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. Do you like a perfume? Especially Middle East, hot countries, they like perfume so much. Which she pours on his head, Jesus' head, as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. They were very angry. Why? Why this waste? What a waste, they shouted, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? Who is this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." Can Jesus say to us individually, "You have done a beautiful, wonderful thing to me"? "The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me." When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Last verse, "I tell you the truth. Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." What does this mean? Verse 13, this means Jesus himself, "Yes, I will remember. I will memorize, I will keep what she has done for me in my house until my second coming." This story of the anointing by a woman on Jesus' body at Bethany is also told in other Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. In four Gospels, this story is written. Actually, Mark's story is almost exactly the same. Then John, the Gospel John, identifies this woman's name, Mary. In this passage, we do not know her name, but John identifies her name, Mary, sister of Martha and Nazareth. Actually, this Mary is found three times in the Gospels. Then in each example, in each three cases, Mary is all the time at the feet of Jesus Christ. First, in Luke chapter 10, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus Christ and listened to Jesus' word. And in John chapter 11, also, Mary came to the feet of Jesus Christ in sorrow, in burdens, after the death of her brother, Nazareth. Also, in this case, Mary worshipped at the feet of Jesus Christ when she anointed this perfume on the body of Jesus Christ. This woman, Mary, was a deeply spiritual woman. You know, Mary found her blessing at the feet of Jesus Christ. Also, she brought her sorrow and burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ. Also, she gave her best gift at the feet of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ praised her action very highly, saying, "She has done beautiful, wonderful thing to me." Wherever, last verse, we repeated several times. Last verse, "I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what Mary has done will also be told in memory of her." Okay, from this story of anointing by Mary on the body of Jesus Christ, at least we can get four lessons, and four truths. Shall we see one by one? First truth we can get from this story is love's extravagance. Yes. Mary took the most precious thing she had and poured it out on the body of Jesus Christ. You know, at the time, most women of Israel were very fond of perfume. Usually, sometimes they carried a small alabaster of perfume around their necks. Such perfume was so valuable, so precious, so expensive. Yes, we read already. Disciples were indignant, very angry. They said, "This perfume could have been sold at a high price." Then in Mark, they said, "This perfume could have been sold more than 1 year's wages." In the book of John, Judas Iscariot, do you know Judas Iscariot, who was betrayed Jesus later? Judas Iscariot said this perfume was worth 1 year's wages. How much 1 year's wages of ordinary work at the time? 1 year's wages were more than 300 denarii. 300 denarii. Philip, how much do you make 1 year? Okay, don't count. Anyway, we know in the story of feeding 5,000 adult men plus many children and women with 5 bread and 2 fish. At the time, Philip said, "We need 200 denarii to feed such a crowd." It means 300 denarii. It means Mary gave the most precious thing she had to Jesus Christ simply because of her love, respect, devotion, sacrifice, and worship to Jesus Christ. If Mary had had something more delicious, more valuable, more expensive than this perfume, she would have given it to Jesus Christ. So point is, love never calculates. Have you ever loved somebody truly, really? With agape love, divine love. True love never calculates. True love never counts 1, 2, 3, 4, the cost. True love never counts the cost. Love never thinks how little it can decently give. Love's one desire is to give to the uttermost limits. Love has given all it can give and then thinks still that giving too little. Not too much, too little. Love is giving to the most thing we can give and then wants to give a little more. Yes, our Father God is like this. our Father God's love to us is like this. God already gave his best, his one and only Son to us, and is giving us what we need, and still God wants to give us more and more. Bible says, God demonstrated his own love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:32 says, God, who did not spare his own Son, his best, and gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus Christ? Bible says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Jesus asks us individually, personally, privately, do you love me? Do you love me? Three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Second truth is, from this story we can get another truth is, there are times when the common sense view of things fails. Do you have common sense? Yes. We must be a man of common sense in common things. Common sense is very important in common life in this world. In this occasion, the voice of common sense says, What a waste. Why this waste? Yes, according to common sense, it is true. No doubt. This is waste, big waste. Stupid action, foolish action. But we must know that there is a world of difference between the economics of common sense and the economics of love. All the time, common sense obeys the dictates of prudence, but love obeys the economics of the heart. In life, in this world, there is a large place for common sense. But we must know that there are some times when only love's extravagance can meet love's demand. A gift is never gift truly when we can easily afford it. A gift can become truly gift only when there is a sacrifice behind it. Do you know the story of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15? Yes, this story is very familiar with us. The one parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. The story is like this. A man has 100 sheep, then he lost one sheep. If you are in this place, what shall you do? If you have 100 sheep and lost one sheep, what shall you do? Yes, according to worldly economics, it seems to be wise to focus the left 99 in order not to lose anymore, thinking lost is lost. You know, leaving 99 in the open country, in the open field, in danger of loss again, going out after the lost one sheep, wandering on the mountain, on the valley, to find it, until find it, seems foolish, stupid, dangerous, more dangerous, according to common sense, according to worldly economics. Please remember that at that time, we individually were lost one sheep. Imagine if God treated us individually according to common sense, according to economics in this world, God would not save us by his absolute grace, allowing his one and only son to die on the cross. Third truth we can get from this story is, you know, certain things must be done when the opportunity arises, or they cannot be done at all. Verse 9 says, this perfume, the disciples said, this perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money given to the poor. They did not say like this for the poor truly, but for the money itself, out of their selfishness, greed, envy, jealousy. Then Jesus said to them, yes, that's good. The poor you will have all the time with you, but you do not have me all the time. What does this mean? Yes, Jesus does not mean we don't need to help the poor. We remember just last Sunday, Jesus strongly commands us to help the poor. We remember his word, helping the poor is helping Jesus himself. Do you remember? Just last Sunday, Jesus emphasized helping the poor. But his point here is, in this world, in our life in this world, there are some things that we can do at any time, every time, if we want to do. But there are some things that we can do only once. So to miss that opportunity to do them is to miss the opportunity forever. Sometimes, often, we are moved by the general impulse, but we do not act upon it. All the chances are that the circumstances, the person, the time, the impulse will never return. We must be wise to discern in this matter. There are some things around us we can do anytime, every time, if we want to do. But there are some things we can do only once in our whole life. This is the truth we can get in this world. As you know, in this story, Judas Iscariot was the first man to shout, what a waste, don't waste this money. You know, Judas was a money keeper, treasurer. He liked the money so much. What a waste. But later, Jesus called Judas Iscariot the son of perdition, the son of damnation. You know, the son of perdition means literally the son of waste, the son of waste. Finally, Judas Iscariot wasted his opportunities, his life, and finally, he wasted his soul. Please remember, if we do not waste our life for Jesus Christ, we will waste our opportunity, our time, our life, maybe finally our soul. To waste our life, our time, our material for our Lord Jesus Christ is the best way, only one way, to gain the eternity finally, definitely. Finally, fourth truth from this story is the fragrance of lovely deeds last forever. Yes, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This means this is the will of Jesus Christ. I will remember, I will memorize, I will keep in my heart what she has done to me until his second coming. Means there are so few lovely things that one thing shines like light in this dark world. Yes, this is almost the last part of Jesus' earthly life, of Jesus' earthly ministry in this world. We know, we can picture this picture, what will happen to Jesus Christ in near future. There was so much bitterness at the end of Jesus' life in this world. There was so much bitterness, so much treachery, so much tragedy, so much injustice, so much intrigue that this story of anointing by Mary on Jesus Christ, this story shines like an oasis, you know, oasis of light in a darkening world. Conclusion. Daniel 12:3 says, those who lead many, many people to righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:30 says, Jesus Christ is our redemption, our holiness, our sanctification, our wisdom, and our righteousness. Then Daniel 12:3 says, those who lead as many as people to righteousness will shine like stars in the sky forever and ever. In our application, your action, my action, our action in which we try to lead as many as people to Jesus Christ, our righteousness will be memorized in God's heart as most beautiful, most valuable, most expensive thing for our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless all of us through this timeless truth. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you and praise you and worship you. Father, truly, really, genuinely, we once love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our energy, with our whole being. Father God, no matter how much we give to you, we can't. You have given to us. Father, thank you for your love upon us. Yes, we know you gave us already your best, your one and only Son. And still you are giving to us what we need faithfully, sincerely, and compassionately. And you want to give us more and more because you are love. Bible says God is spirit, God is light, and finally God is love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your divine love. Thank you for your agape love. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you for your unending love. your endless love. O Lord, we cannot express how much we are thankful to you through our tongue, through our language. Father God, fill us with your spirit so that we may be successful in praising you, worshiping you, lifting you to the higher than to the highest continually in our daily life. Thank you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.